Once again, a gorgeous day in Oshkosh, Mike.
It is, and I'm still not Paul Predecker.
Well, that's
true. Those are some big shoes to fill. I'm trying.
He is a taller guy. His feet probably are bigger. Oh,
yes.
You mean in the other way.
Yeah. Wait, what's the other way, Mike?
Yeah, okay, never mind. Paul is a chief instructor pilot for Regional Airline.
Yes, he's a very important person.
Yeah.
I'm not.
So I had a great run with Paul up through Friday. He had to go back and do real work. And so thank you for filling in.
I'm great happy I here. Could be here. So.
So in this quarter hour, we're going to be talking about the transition from military to civilian as an aviator. And our guests at this point are from Auburn University's Striped Wings program. We've talked earlier in the week about how that program works for helping students sort of get themselves in and through as professional aviators. We're now going to shift focus, and we're going to kind of use you as a test case, Jake Narotsky, who's one of the members of Striped Wings, as someone who was career military mm-hmm. and now is in secondary education and is headed into a career, a non-military aviation career.
Right.
We'll also be talking with Joseph Shin, who is a member of Striped Wings, the organization at Auburn. So.
Yep.
Aviation tech program. So, Jake, what's your personal story? What's your history?
Well, I came in actually when I was in basic training was 9/11. My second day of my rifle marksmanship at Fort Benning was 9/11, and the world changed. My life changed. I got on a track, went and worked with helicopters. I was a Black Hawk crew chief and a flight instructor and a standardization instructor. I did 14 years. And you find out over time on those helicopters that after you put so many hours in, you're going to get hurt. Over time, your body kind of starts to break down. And I got to the point where I couldn't pass that physical anymore to continue to fly for the Army, but I could still pass it in the civilian world. And so unfortunately, I had to step down and go ahead and go through my medical retirement. And I'm very fortunate that I can pass and I can still get my first class. In civilian world, and
first class medical.
Absolutely, yeah. Sorry about that. And so I was able to make that transition out of the Army into college, and that's where Auburn really comes in. And my family and I were at Fort Polk, Louisiana. I'm sure there's some listeners right now cringing as I speak, but Fort Polk did as well. But while we were there and we were looking at getting ready to get out, my wife said, "You know, I'd love to live over in Alabama." She has some family in the area, and so we looked around And lo and behold, Auburn University, a phenomenal, phenomenal flight program there. And we're talking top 3% of schools in the country and oldest continuous running flight school in the country. And, I mean, the accolades just go on. And so we came down there, and because I'd already done some schooling, and you'll probably hear me say that again for you guys that are listening, if you're in the military, you've got to be doing schooling. You absolutely have to, because now you're not a first-time student. You're a transfer student. And the standards aren't necessarily lower. They're easier to make that transition from one school to another. And that's what I did. And we were able to come down to Auburn and get involved and get in through the registrar and get my classes scheduled and everything like that. And within about a week's time from when I got there, I had made the complete move with my family and was flying. So it was a real easy transition. The resource center down there is phenomenal. Call sign Puck is our director. His name's Paul Esposito. He was a Navy Seahawk pilot, which is probably why he's so awesome, but he really steps in and helps us out, and the guys, they look at our schedule, they make sure things are lining up. They kind of bridge that gap between the language we're used to speaking and the day-to-day life we're used to living in the military and Auburn. And it's, believe me, it's huge. I could call it life-changing. I mean, it's a life-changing moment anyhow, but to be able to make that step comfortably and to take that worry away as a father, as a husband, that you have during that transition is night and day. You literally are a better student because your brain can focus on your flying and your schooling because you're not so worried. So it's a great program down there.
So for you transitioning, you would be considered a non-traditional student, where
right.
most students, you know, come out of high school, they're already in the I'm studying mode, you know, and they just keep on with that. So this program helps you make sure you're in that mode too.
Absolutely, and I'll go back to it again. You got to be getting schooling when you're in the military, guys. I told my soldiers in the military, I told my friends, and now I'm telling, you know, like Joe here that's with me, he's in the ROTC. You know, yeah, he's getting his bachelor's, but when you go in the military, continue on, keep that education mindset, keep that learning mindset, and then like you said, as a non-traditional student coming out of the military, coming to the civilian world, there's so many parts of your life that are completely changing, that'll never be the same again. You're literally closing a chapter of your life. For guys like me that were in so long, you're a non-commissioned officer most likely, and you've got soldiers and you have responsibilities, you've got missions, and to wake up one day and the phone doesn't ring anymore, and there's no more mission, there's no more flight, there's nobody calling you and saying, Sergeant, I got a question, it's almost like your life comes to an end. And being able to come to Auburn and get involved in our program and get involved in the Auburn family is huge, because now there are people calling me again. I have another mission. You know, I might be not getting the Blackhawk anymore, but I'm getting into my bird, into the fixed wing. And your life is able to just continue forward. So it's pretty big as far as, you know, don't get out of the military and just say, well, I'm done. You're never done. That's just the beginning. You have a whole nother life and career ahead of you, especially at Auburn.
So how much time do you have, flight time do you have right now?
Well, in the back of a Blackhawk, which this plus 50 cents will get you 2 quarters, but have about 2,000 hours, and about between 800 and 1,000 of those are NVG hours and a couple combat tours. And what that really did for anybody that's listening is that they weren't front seat. They weren't hands on the controls, but I understand aerodynamics. I understand crew coordination. I understand what's happening to me in the air. And so that made that transition pretty smooth into the front seat, where I was like, oh, this is pretty easy. All I need to learn how to do is wiggle the sticks. So I have about 200. I know. Right? Well, that's
there,
easy. You know, there's
not
much to it.
Helicopter pilots, they're thinking, man, I don't know about that.
But I have about 200 hours now. I finished my private. I'm almost done with my instrument. Working in the glass cockpit, actually doing my cross countries right now. So,
how's that feeling to you?
It is phenomenal. Something Auburn does, we call it newbie row outside, and we've got our round dials. And of course, for safety, Auburn's, you know, there's a wrong way, the right way, and the Auburn way, and that's, we're going to do it the safest way. Our round dials is where we learn all of our private in the first half of our instrument. And because of that, when you step into that glass cockpit, you're like, this is awesome.
Yeah, well, and so, there's a lot more that you understand that the computers do for you that it's easy to...
I'm still a big advocate of learning on the round dials. If you learn on glass, it's really hard to go back to the round dials.
Absolutely, yeah.
If you learn on the round dials, it takes about 2 seconds to get to the glass and just know how wonderful it is. And the trick to that is, you know, right now I'm flying an airplane that has round dials again. So I had to go back from glass to round dials.
Yeah, you get used to that after a while. Although I'm learning in a glass cockpit, when I rent a plane on the weekends, which, you know, once we get checked out, we can rent our own planes there, which is that's phenomenal. Getting that additional flight time and getting in a cockpit without an instructor, where your real world, you know, it's just you. You need to make that decision. Is phenomenal, but I always rent with round dials. I'm just comfortable in them, so get that way.
So we're talking with Jake Norotsky and also with Joseph Shin. Joseph, you've been real quiet. The last 5 minutes, you're not going to get off so easy. They're both members of an organization at Auburn University's aviation tech program called Striped Wings. So they're representing here this week at AirVenture, but we're talking specifically about the transition that Jake and others are making from military aviator to commercial aviator. So, Joe, you are in ROTC.
Yes, I am.
So you're, part of the way through your four-year program, right?
So I'm a rising senior, so I'm going to be, I'm in Army ROTC at the moment.
Yeah?
So.
And how is it that you either volunteered or were selected to represent the program at something like this?
Yeah, so when the Striped Wings student organization was going through the process of being recognized as an official organization at the university, I was able to apply and send in my resume, and I was able to go through an interview process. And after that, I was accepted, and I was able to represent.
So what's it been like this week? You've probably had a bunch of questions that maybe you haven't had before, or maybe a larger number of people in a shorter span of time. What's this been like?
One of the biggest questions I've been given was, how do I become a professional pilot? And a lot of people don't know that, even if they do come to AirVenture, and that's actually surprising. And ironically, I didn't know how to become a professional pilot until I was a sophomore in college. My freshman year, I started off as a business management major in the College of Business, and I didn't know Auburn had a flight program. And so I just did some Google search and found out that Auburn had an aviation program, and I applied and got into it.
So you made a sideways move and changed majors.
I did.
Now, how many hours do you think you'll have at the end of your senior year?
So I'm in the Army ROTC. I'm already contracted, so I'll be in commissioning into the Army.
So there's a problem you won't have at the end of your senior year that others might. Okay, keep going.
So I'm trying to be an Army aviator, so I'm not flying as much as my fellow students would. So I'm trying to finish out my private pilot license by the time I graduate, and because the military does like seeing that these potential pilots, these potential aviators, have a passion for flying. So, yeah.
And it probably makes the training, once you get into the military, that much simpler because you already have some of the background in
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
So are you kind of aiming yourself towards fixed or rotary, or do you get that choice? Or?
Well, I've been asked that question so many times, and I just tell them, no, I'll fly whatever the Army flight throws at me. Yeah. You know, just the passion of flying. Every flight is a good flight.
Yeah. So that's Joseph Shin and also Jake Narotsky, part of Auburn University's student organization called Stripe Wings that helps promote and acclimate and encourage aviation tech majors and future commercial aviators at Auburn University. Thanks so much for coming in, and safe travels home.
Absolutely. War Eagle.
War Eagle.
So later in this hour, you're going to hear a conversation with the guy who owns the very first production Cessna 172. You're listening to EAA Radio.